Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life. This is the Australia Report with Vic Aladef. Good day, mate.
Vic Aladef, a very good morning to you. Hope you are well.
Good morning, Howard. Yes, thank you. I am good to talk to you.
Nice to speak to you. Let's start straight with the latest information about the post-Bondi protest laws.
So the Bondi massacre happened December 14 last year. 10 days later, so December 24, legislation against protests and hate speech was rushed through the parliament here in New South Wales. That's the state where Sydney is located. There were criminal charges, and they basically gave police unprecedented powers to ban moving protests. In other words, if a protest begins at one point and goes through the streets to another point, and that those police were given those powers to ban moving protests for up to 90 days following a terrorist event. And Bondi obviously was the worst terrorist attack in the history of this country, in which, just to remind people, 15 people were massacred celebrating the first night of Hanukkah. So three activist groups, one called Palestine Action Group, another one called Black Caucus, and the third one, yes, you guessed it, Jews Against the Occupation, came together to launch a challenge in the court, in the appeal court, against a constitutional challenge, saying that those laws were unconstitutional. And they went to court in February, and they went to court immediately after a visit in February by President Herzog, Israeli President Herzog. He came, people might remember, in February as a mark of support post-Bondi, etc. And there were thousands of people took to the streets in protest against President Herzog. And people were arrested during those protests. And 26 people were actually charged during those protests against the laws which I've just cited. So that was in February, and they went to court. These three groups went to court in February, and the findings have just been handed down just a couple of days ago. And those findings threw out those laws, unfortunately, threw out those laws, and said that it creates an impossible burden for the authorities to suppress freedom of communication and freedom of speech on political matters, etc., etc. And the court said, quote, quelling one particular form of political communication in the interest of protecting another part of the community from a sense of unease or threat is not a constitutionally legitimate purpose. And so they've thrown this, and so therefore those three groups which went to court are now therefore saying, well, the 26 people who are charged, those charges need to be dropped. Now, it's not a given that those charges will be dropped, but the premier of the state, who has been extraordinarily supportive since October 7, has not indicated yet. He said he's very disappointed with this finding, but he hasn't indicated yet whether the government will appeal to the High Court, which goes even above the appeal court, or look to re-legislate this law in a bid to get around the court findings.
So what is likely to happen?
Well, it's a good question, but it's impossible to know, because the truth is in this country there's federal legislation which applies across the country, and each state has its own legislation as well. So just 2 days ago in Queensland, which is a northern state, there were other people took to the streets again. And what were they protesting about? They were protesting about laws passed by the Queensland government, which said that the phrases "river to the sea" and "globalize the intifada" are prohibited phrases because they lead to violence. And so we have thousands of people taking to the streets on the weekend protesting against that law. And there are a number of 22 people were arrested. And so that law is now being contested as well. So everywhere you look, legislation, hate legislation is being challenged. The really disturbing part is in the federal court, the Australian Parliament, right after Bondi, the government attempted to get a new tranche of hate speech legislation enacted, and it didn't get over the line. So, and this is even after Bondi. So the answer to your question is, it's impossible to know how it will come down. So, as I mentioned, the Premier of the state hasn't indicated whether he will go to the High Court, which is the highest court in the land, which is above the Appeal Court, to try and get the finding that these laws, which were passed, 10 days after Bondi, to try and get that finding overturned. So it's a fraught situation as far as what is permitted and what is not permitted.
Let's talk about Harry and Meghan. They've been in Australia and they met Bondi massacre survivors.
Well, and they did. And this was at their request, interestingly enough. So they saw a report in the New York Times, and a report which was focusing on the Sydney Jewish Museum's efforts to memorialize what happened at Bondi. And I've mentioned this before, there's extraordinary work going on at the Sydney Jewish Museum, including an entire floor space just dedicated to Bondi, and including literally 3 tons of flowers which were laid at the site of the Bondi massacre, including toys and soft toys and handmade offerings and textiles and hundreds of painted stones with messages on them. So Harry and Meghan saw a report in the New York Times. They came to Sydney, they came to Australia, and they requested to go to Bondi and to meet with some of the people involved. And so they went to the site of the massacre. They met with the president of the Sydney Jewish Museum, and they had a meeting with a number of survivors of the massacre. One woman who I happen to know quite well, who lay under her daughter, her little 5-year-old daughter, for the duration of the massacre. They met with her. She told her story. They met another Jewish man who was in a coma for 10 days. He was so badly wounded. And so they had a number of meetings, according to one of the reports. Meghan had tears in her eyes listening to all of the above. So it was, there were photographs of them at the site and meeting survivors. So, yes, it certainly attracted a fair amount of media attention.
Galadev, thank you. As always, it is just gone. It has just gone 7 o'clock. You can catch Vic Aladef. Dr. Vic Aladef is the former CEO of the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies. We speak to him every Tuesday at this time.